Good morning, church family. It is a beautiful Sabbath day. And I've been up since 4 o'clock. Pastor shouldn't share those things, right? Well, I'm human. And sometimes certain types of food don't agree with you. Now, here's the thing, though. I've spent a good portion of my life, at least 17 years of my life, eating foods sometimes I didn't even recognize that probably no human should have eaten. But, you know, my stomach is iron, you know, it's iron cast. I mean, it's solid stuff. But once in a while, once about every 10 years, I get knockout. But, you know, God takes those things and... At 4 o'clock in the morning, most preachers' minds, if they wake up at four, are just going 90 miles an hour. You know, you've studied all week, you've been reading God's Word, you've been studying, preparing, asking the Spirit to lead, and the Holy Spirit lays things on you, and make notes, take notes, write things down, quotations, things like that, and then... The mind doesn't stop, and neither does the spirit. So sometimes there's an addition or two. And this morning, I was just impressed that, you know, we've been talking over the past few months about this whole concept of using our minds and the way God, you know, He created our minds in such a wonderful, a beautiful thing. The mind is incredible. And we know so little about it. So very little. We have been on the moon, supposedly. We are trying to land on Mars. We are sending Hubble scopes out into outer space to peer into the outer space, searching, looking for whatever. I don't know. You know what's amazing? We haven't even plumbed the depths of our oceans. We have no idea. Every so often, these monsters pop up out of the ocean and get washed up on the beach, and we go, oh my goodness, an alien. We don't even know what is down there. We haven't even gone down there, and yet we've gone into outer space. We don't even know our own planet. What is it, 75% of the planet is covered with water, or is it more than that? A lot. We ought to be looking at our own planet and finding out what's going on here before we're out in space looking for a place to live. Because you know what my Bible tells me? My Bible tells me that God has prepared a place for me. It's called heaven. I don't have to worry about what's going on here because He's going to get me out of this mess. And the people that live up in Northern California and the people that live in Idaho and Montana and Arizona and Colorado that have had all kinds of bad fires, they have seen that Mother Nature can be pretty powerful. You can't really stop her if she doesn't want to be stopped. I have relatives up in Santa Rosa right now that are really worried. And they're praying, and I'm praying, and I hope all of you are praying. I know Gene Knittle has family up there too. We need to pray for these people, folks. But you know what? If you know the Lord... There is nothing that can be thrown your way. The pestilence, the fiery darts, all those things that we fear so greatly, nothing can be thrown your way if you know Jesus. Everything can be taken from you, as my wife's cousin experienced, and a few of family members and friends up in Northern California who lost not only their homes, but their school. Redwood Academy burned right to the ground. I used to work there in the summertime, you know, doing maintenance on their school buses way back in the 70s. Beautiful little school. Used to be kind of out in the countryside, but it kind of got surrounded over the years. Beautiful school. Burned to the ground. She lost all of her books. She's been teaching for, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And you know, we see the news and we look at the things happening around us in the world and we just get all hysterical. You know, remember, this is your what? This part of your brain. You forgot already? Prefrontal lobe. Without that, you're just a chimpanzee. You gotta have the prefrontal lobe because that is where you sense everything that's going on around you. Your eyes see it, your nose smells, your lips and your tongue taste, and your ears hear, and it goes to the prefrontal right here, and it gets processed. And up there in the prefrontal, you make choices and you make decisions, okay? And those decisions are very complex. And then it sends the message down to what? What part? No. You're making up words now. Ganglia. And there's other words too, but ganglia then takes all that information that you have made a choice and you send that message down to the ganglia, and the ganglia then sends it out to your fingertips or your feet or whatever, okay? As electrical impulses and chemicals change in your brain, sends these things out. Fear, joy, happiness, you name it. All those things that we express on a regular basis to each other, they all come from decisions that we made up here, all right? Simple anatomy class, real quick. My wife had to teach it to me. She's a nurse, so, and my son. They explained all this to me. And they use words that I don't even know how to repeat them, all right? The long Latin, Greek, whatever words, all right? But here's the thing. If you take all of these emotions, all right, that we have, and all the reactions to those emotions that we show, that's what they are. They're choices that we make, good and bad. Nobody ever makes perfect choices all the time. Sometimes we have to learn through either counsel and guidance from other people, from God's word, or the school of hard knocks. All right? And sometimes we get burned in the process, and we hopefully don't go back to get burned again. Now, that's the difference I found, by the way. I've shared this before. The difference between humans and animals. Humans make choices, and they say, okay, last time I did that, I got burned, or I got hurt, or something happened that wasn't pleasant. Dogs, chimps are a little bit better than dogs, but dogs don't necessarily do that. And I told you the story about the neighbor's dog in Borneo that used to come over and fight with my little baboon that I had. Did I ever tell you that? I know I've told that story here, but maybe it was so long ago. Let me tell you again. I had this little baboon, and he was a juvenile. He was a young one, and he was into everything, always getting into trouble. Every time he got loose, every time he somehow managed to unhook the chain, he would take off, and he would create havoc in the neighborhood. He would go into the houses because they didn't have windows, no glass windows, just shutters. He would go in there, and he would smear peanut butter all over the place and throw raisins all over the place, and he would just trash the place, all right? So I had to make sure that this time when I hooked him up that I didn't just use a regular clip, because he would figure out how to undo it. And so I actually had to wire it so he couldn't. But he had about a 15, 20-foot chain, and there was this frangipani tree that he was hooked up to. And every morning, the neighbor's dog, and I say the neighbors, they were across the campus. They had like a dog, it was sort of like a Labrador, but he was a really dumb lab. I've had labs, and they were pretty smart dogs. This one was really dumb. He would come every morning, and he would start this routine. The baboon would be out in the grass picking bugs and eating them. They love bugs, okay? And they were eating bugs. And the next thing you know, the dog, I'd hear this, woof, woof, woof. This is right after sunrise. Woof, woof, woof. And then the baboon would go, kah, kah, you know, you hear that noise. And the dog would bark at the baboon, and the baboon would slowly back up, and he would be eating, he would be watching the dog, and he would back up, and he would back up, until his back was up against the tree. And then the dog would be right in his face going, woof, 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 and he would jump and grab the dog and bite him in the neck, and the dog would turn and run. And of course, the chain was only 15 feet long, so I would see this baboon suspended in the air at the end of his chain, and the dog just tailing back home. Do you think the dog would learn the first time? He'd come back every morning. Every morning, back. Humans, folks, we are given the ability to choose and make decisions that are vital to our existence here on this earth and our future life. Okay, having made that point, the Bible tells us very clearly that God is love. Okay? That needs to sink in. to the prefrontal lobe. Because there's a lot of other messages in our brain going on. You can't trust humans. Humans aren't loving. Humans are traitors. Humans are this. Humans are that. I've had all kinds of experiences. People have let me down. Blah, 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 blah. Right? You got that going on, don't you, some of you? If you don't, you grew up in a capsule somewhere. Because the real world, folks, is not a world that you can necessarily trust in. Okay? So you got to erase, well, you can't erase that. That's just part of being human. That stuff just goes on in our brains. It's really hard to erase. And then we start doing things as a result of that. We start hurting ourselves or we start hurting other people. We start doing things that are not good for our bodies. That's a result of a lack of trust or not being loved enough. All right? Let me talk about that for just a second. You know that I grew up in Korea, part of my life, and we had orphanages there, and one of the things I used to do with my mom, I'll never forget this, would be to go to the orphanages on Sabbath afternoon. Even as a little five-year-old, I remember holding kids that were almost my size, but I remember these one room especially, there was one room full of little metal cribs, and each crib had a little baby in it, all right? And babies were brought to the hospital and the orphanage in little cardboard boxes and left on the front door. And so it was their job to take care of those babies. And I remember one thing. My mother insisted that we all make sure that we hold every single baby in that room and talk to it and sing to it and love it. Now, this, I don't know if my mom knew the understood the psychology of all of this, but it was important. She knew that it was important for those babies to know that somebody loved them out there. And I still have very, very vivid memories of that. It's still, I can't go to orphanages. I would take them all home. Just like I can't go to animal shelters. I would take them all home. I already have, well, three dogs and then two when my son sends his over. I got way too many dogs. Those children needed to feel loved. They needed to be touched, to be held, to be cradled, to be rocked, to be talked to, even though they were infants. They needed to know that there was love. If you watch the news, which I don't because I don't have a television right now, I haven't had it for quite a while, but I can't resist looking on my iPad every so often and seeing what's on there. And we've had an abundance of events that have taken place over the past few months that says to us that we don't live in a perfect world. People being taken over by evil in their hearts and doing things to other humans that are absolutely terrible and atrocious and unloving and unkind and unmerciful. But in the midst of that, if you watch, in the midst of that, We've also seen the opposite, divinely inspired acts of love. And believe me, I watch it over and over and over and over again because I want to believe, and I do believe, that God is love. And when people's hearts are filled with that they also become loving. Uh-huh. What did Jesus say? Right here in our text. Open your Bibles. And what does it say? Looking for my glasses here. I want you to, you know, the bulletin, I like to mark my bulletins up because, you know, I write my Bibles too, but they're already marked by so many times that sometimes it's nice to have a fresh printing of the scripture. But this is Jesus speaking to his disciples towards the end of one of the Gospels, the Gospel of John. And by the way, John was the disciple that, what? Loved Jesus. He loved Jesus. In fact, it's so evident in his writings that when they painted the Last Supper, they have John sort of leaning on Jesus, like he's good buddy, good friend. So it's not surprising that John, when he writes and tells the story of Jesus' life, that he emphasizes that aspect, that element of Jesus' message, his gospel, his command. And what does it say here? beginning with verse 12, it says, "And my command is this." Oh, wow, we should all sit up and listen, huh? When Jesus says, "My command is this," if you were in the presence of Jesus, would you sit up and listen? You wouldn't be, you know, you would listen. Okay? And it says, by the way, that's pretty emphatic too, if you look at the Greek and everything. "My command is this." When somebody of great importance, somebody that is highly intelligent, somebody who knows what's best for us, when he says, "My command is this," we should all sit up and listen. And so this is what it says. "My command is this, that you what? Love?" Oh, come on, Jesus. Love's such a... It kind of floats around. You know, what is love? What is love? It has so many different meanings. That's why the Greeks have different words to describe love. We don't really have that in English, you know. But anyways, that you love each other. Well, if he'd stopped there, we would be kind of a toss-up, wouldn't it? But he goes further. That you love each other as I have loved you. You get it? In other words, you're not free to just imagine what love should be. All we need is love. Na, 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 na. Really? Nice guys, but did they really know love? Maybe one or two of them did. Did they ever discover true love? The kind of love we're talking about here, Jesus he goes on to explain what kind of love it is. It's the kind of love that you've been seeing and hearing about in some of these tragedies. A woman who, as I said last week, who stays by the sides of two dying young men who've been shot, and she holds their hands and she picks the phone out of their pockets and she calls their mothers and tells them what's going on. Another person who lays on top of his spouse to protect her from being shot. He gets shot. The list goes on and on. I don't have to recount everything that took place. That is unnatural love. That is divine love. That is love that only the Spirit can inspire in somebody's heart. Because by nature, We run. A man who takes dozens of people in the back of a stolen pickup to the hospital, puts his finger in the bullet hole in their side or in their leg and plugs up so they won't bleed to death. That is special love. Let's call it what it is, folks. You don't see that every day. You see a lot of drive-by shooting. You see a lot of crazy stuff going on. You don't see that kind of love. That's divine love. That's Holy Spirit-inspired love. I dare say that if you were to go home and if you could check into the backgrounds of some of these people, I don't think you would find that they were all Christians. Okay? Hurrah for the Christians. But I believe that God is moving with His Holy Spirit across the face of this earth. He is colorblind. God's stumbling around. He's colorblind. He's even a bit blind to denominations, I think, too. Y'all laugh, but you need to go and see what he has to say to the Pharisees, the religious people of his day. Woo! If he talked to me like that, I'd have to have a heavy dose of the Holy Spirit to keep me from getting angry. Jesus wanted to convey to the world what his Father's kingdom was all about. Go home and read the rest of this chapter and the chapter before it and the chapter after it. What you'll find out is that Jesus said, I love one another as I loved you. And now here's what's interesting. That love that Jesus had for us was love that was shown him by his Father in heaven. He says, before the world was created, he loved me. Jesus speaking of his Father. Ah, bingo. 4 o'clock in the morning. Whew. Really, God? What about all this theology? What about denominational differences? What about theological differences? What about all those things? And the voice kept saying to me, God is love. Jesus loved you, and he loves you like his Father loved him. That goes way back before the creation of this world, before you and I were even a spark, as they say, in the eye of God. Way back. Way, way, way back. We don't know even how far back. Even the Hubble telescope can't tell us how far back God existed. It never will figure it out. Our minds can't comprehend it, how far back God goes. And correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all those omnis. Okay? There's a whole bunch of them. All right? And one of those omnis is that he's eternal. Now, my mind, that one has bothered me and just hounded me all my life. It still kind of hounds me because I can't comprehend it. This prefrontal lobe has limitations. It cannot comprehend eternal. The word eternal. So in my head, and I'm, you know, like I said, I have an artistic mind sometimes that goes way off, but it's either God's eternal is either a circle with no beginning and no end, or it's a figure eight. It's one or the other, because the figure eight and a circle have no beginning and they have no end. So you're saying, well, God runs around in circles? No. What I'm saying is, for me to understand eternity and forever, I have to do mental gymnastics, because I'm used to birth and death. That's all I know. And so to say that God has always been and always will be, I go, whoo, my brain starts shorting and getting headache and my ganglia starts reacting. So before time began on this here planet, God loved us. Please do not think about how you've been unloved and mistreated and whatever by human beings. We are a rotten bunch. All right? There's plenty of evidence for that. Plenty of evidence. Focus on the love of God. Focus on it. Okay, so it's your turn. Do we have another microphone, cordless one? Here's what I want to ask you this question. And I won't ask you to raise your hand right now, but this is going to take some faith. But what evidence do you have? I want you to focus it down. Get rid of those tapes that are playing for a minute here that are in your head. All the experiences you've had that went sour. All the relationships that were bad. I want you to focus on just one thing, and that is God's love. Okay? Just God's. Just God's. All right? You know? Don't even think about the beautiful lady or man sitting next to you. I want you to focus on God's love. That's what we're here for, really. 6 days a week, you can focus on other love, whatever, but focus on God's love. This is, we're here to worship God. We're here to observe God. We're here to listen to God. We're here to study God, to understand God, and to feel his presence. So let me ask you this question. And if we have a mic, do we have a mic? Well, I'll use this one. Okay, I'll make it easy. What evidence do you have? And I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm not talking about even a year ago. I'm asking you right now. In spite of everything that you see going on, in spite of everything you feel, see and feel and hear and all that stuff, that's all prefrontal lobe stuff. But what evidence do you have in your experience, in your life, that God loves you? That God loves you. Think about it for a second. If you want to read a text, you want to sing a song, just give a testimony. We got a taker right here already. How do you know God loves you?
I'll go ahead and stand. I'll try to say without crying, but honestly, just the fact that I'm still happy. Like, truly, I'm joyful every day, and I have something to look forward to. I have a future to look forward to, and I think everybody has been through something in their life that's traumatic or might have made them feel like they're alone or depressed. Probably all of us have been there, and I've been there. But I'm happy. I'm happy, and I'm joyful, and I'm looking forward to the future, and that alone, I feel like, just really shows that God is love, because he loves you, even if no one else did at any time in your life.
Amen.
Thank you, sister. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Come on, somebody. Don't be shy. Here we go. Ed, go ahead.
Thank you. I recently baptized. I baptized last year. And in the last 10 months, I participated in prayer groups. Every Thursday, we get together. And I listen to other people's testimonies. And this is very recent for me because I never done that before. In the last month, we had 5 people get baptized.
Amen.
And that was just a wonderful experience and something I wanted to share with you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Ed, for sharing that. Anybody else? Right, just raise your hand. Here we go, Pam.
Well, I just recently had a thing happen that I basically was attacked by quite a few people, ambushed for a thing that was going on, and it amazed me because I'm a worrier and I can get afraid easy, and God was there and I had this peace that I had never felt before. And I was just like, thank you, God. It's your peace. And so, he's definitely there with us and his love is there with you.
Wow, isn't that beautiful? Yes, right here.
I know that God loves me because I can hear his voice. Even in the midst of this storm and chaos that's going on around me, I can still hear his voice. So that tells me that he is speaking to me because he loves me.
I know that God loves me because throughout all the hardships that I've experienced in my life, he's always provided food for me, shelter, and people who love and care about me, you know, without me, like, having a mom and dad in my life and, you know, that support system. He's always shown me that he's there no matter what, and he's never had me go without. So that's how I know God loves me.
Man, this is your family. Look around.
I know that God loves me because he has such a grace and mercy that he is continually pouring over me. And I feel... No, I don't feel. I know that there is... The hand of God is on me. And he is protecting me, allowing me to feel life and experience life. But through it all, I have this hope and this joy that springs up inside of me through all of it. And it can come from nowhere else but from him. And that is consistent.
Amen. Wow. You know, between the prefrontal lobes and the ganglia, there's this thing that we make a choice, but that choice is based on faith. Faith. Some of you have strong faith. Some of you have weak faith. Some of you might have to pray for faith because faith, by the way, is a gift. Okay? But don't give up. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. Hang on to the foot of the cross. You know, hang on to Jesus' garments, like the lady did. You know, and do not let go, because that is evidence of faith growing in your life.
Mm-hmm. I liked your illustration of God's hand being on her. I found another one about God's hand that has been reassuring me recently, is there in John 10, the one where he says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, I give eternal life to them. They shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And, you know, his hand is on us, and we are in his hand. And that's a pretty good, I love that promise that no one can snatch me out of the hand. Now, sometimes I like to crawl over the edge. But he puts his hand back on me and puts me in his hand. And no one can take me out. I love that.
Right back here. You guys can pass it on. Okay. What blows my mind about God and how I know that he loves me is how perfectly consistent he is and constant he is in his love. I don't have to wake up in the morning and be like, does God love me today? Like, you know, like, is he going to be in a bad mood or whatever? You know, like, his love is constant. I mean, I'm the variable. I mean, sometimes I fall. I'm not as loyal to God as I should. I'm the variable, the kind of the wild card in our relationship, but he isn't. I never have to guess. I never have to wonder about his love. It's there. If we want to access it, it's there. It's there. It's purely there. Yeah. It's constant.
It's hard to accept, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we don't have very many models of that in the world around us. I keep pointing to my dog. My dog loves me no matter what. I need to point God and dog together. Folks, that consistent love. The dog is just absolutely... I'm sure cats are that way, too.
Not the same way.
Incredible. You can be mean to them, you can yell at them, you can do whatever. You can always come, wave your tail, and smile and kiss you.
No cat.
I don't think God minds that. He created the dog anyways. Go ahead.
I just know about the God's love because of my life experience. I have always taken risks where every time I was going to do something that was big in my life, everybody around me was saying, like, are you sure you're going to do this? And I was sure because I knew that even if I didn't have any money in my pocket or my family so far away from me and they are giving me support and everything, but they are far and I'm alone and I knew that God would provide everything. Mm-hmm. And he was there. And I would say, you know, yes, I'm going to do this because he was telling me, you can do this. You know?
Amen.
And
amen.
My boyfriend and I, we look at each other, we say, you know, everything happens, just trust. And you can, we look at each other, we laugh because we know that God's love, it's around us all the time. It's just like he said, it's not like one morning is, oh, today, I don't think so. But no, it's every time. And that happiness, that joy is just in you. And you're like, whoa, this is different. This is not just like, you know, I catch that wave. That's great. No, it's like, whoa, this is something different, you know. It's inside, it's deep inside. It's amazing.
Amen.
Yes. I'll get you back here.
When everything goes smooth in our life, we know God loves us. But when something really very bad happens to us, then we're asking ourselves, does God love me or no? And then we see how he weaved the happenings and how he was sending people that helped us to go through this turmoil. And I was always amazed how long, long before I met somebody that is going to really help me and support me in my trust in him, because we always have to trust that he's doing the best for us and he's leading us to his kingdom of heaven. And I'm so looking forward for him to come and take me. Just take me, Lord. Or...
Like the Apostle Paul, huh? He says, you know, I'd be honest with you folks, I'd rather be with the Lord than with you.
I love that. I'd rather be in the spirit than to be with you. That's an honest preacher, isn't it? But isn't it wonderful to know that there is an option to the world that we live in? That alone should fill our hearts with hope and joy. Okay?
I know that he loves me because he knew. He knew that we were going to turn away from him and go our own ways and go back and forth between him and the world. And he still made us, and then he knew that we were going to do the same thing over and over, and he still died for us. And so through all the pain that we give to him, he still did all this for us. And so I know that he loves me because of that.
Amen. That's great. Wow. Man, that's the overall feel as I was, you know, as you were sharing, as everybody was sharing here, is that there's hope. And that hope brings joy. Joy and happiness. And what did Jesus say when he left his disciples? He says, "My peace I leave with you." Here's a gift. I'm taken off. I'm going to the Father. The Father's called me back. My time is here limited. But guess what? I'm sending somebody to be here. All right. My buddy, the other one of the three, he's going to come. All right. And he will always be with you to the end of the world. Yeah. In the fire, in the earthquakes, in the storm. Wherever you go, whatever is going on in your life, whether it's a physical or emotional or mental or a spiritual storm, God is always there. You don't have to believe it. You really don't have to believe it. You know, our belief is going to waver. We're humans, up and down, up and down, up and down, yo-yo, here and there, everywhere. But we're doing it. God's still there. A friend of mine, a number of years ago, and it's been quite a while actually, we were classmates at La Sierra Theology Department, and he was a musician, and we had a little group that we put together playing guitars and singing, and he passed away a number of years ago. But I remember a song that he wrote that carried me through a very dark period of my life. And in the words it says, you know, God is still there, even though it doesn't feel so. Feelings. You can feel anything you want to feel because God created you that way. You're in His image. Father, if you can take this cup from me, take it. That's Jesus. Really? Jesus couldn't see through the darkness of that moment and that hour. He was wavering. He was feeling pain. He was suffering emotionally, mentally. And he said, "Father, you're so far away. You're so far away. My God, why have you forsaken me?" You ever prayed that prayer? You will. You will. We all do. We all do. That's not doubt. That's human emotion. And what did you hear? "My son, my daughter, I love you. I love you. Hang on. Hang on. You're going to make it." The Bible tells us the assurance that we can have is that Christ overcame the world. Overcame the world. And all of its rottenness, He overcame the world. And because He overcame the world, hey, we can hook our wagon to that one. Hook your wagon to Jesus Christ. He's already plowed through. All you got to do is just follow right on through. Okay? Let's bow our heads. Father God, we're so thankful that You love us. And we don't always understand that because we're complexed. But You made us that way, Lord. And so we struggle. We weep, we cry, we laugh, we dance, we feel emotion. We're alive. Proof that we're alive. Proof that You're alive and living in our hearts. You sent us into the world.
You didn't call us out, you sent us in. So that we might share the love of the Father that came through you to us. So that we can share it in this world. Bless us, Father, as we go. May this love that we experience grow into a raging fire that just fills us with so much passion and so much love for others. That we can fulfill the commandment that Jesus gave. His commandment I give to you, that you love one another. We pray this in your most powerful and loving name. And all of God's people said, Amen.